From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. George Floyd was buried in Houston yesterday next to his mom. It has been 2 weeks and 2 days since he died while in police custody in Minneapolis. In yesterday's funeral, which was broadcast publicly, George's niece, Brooke Williams, said her uncle's death was not just murder, but a hate crime.
These laws need to be changed. No more hate crimes, please. Someone said, make America great again. But when has America ever been great?
During the service, Houston's mayor announced a ban on chokeholds in what he said would be an even broader executive order on policing. Many local and state leaders are looking at their laws and the potential for reform. That includes Governor Gavin Newsom, who announced a change in practices for California last Friday.
I am immediately directing POST, which is our police officers' training, to end the training of that practice. And I could not be more pleased. No sooner did we make a commitment on this proposal that a member of the legislature, Mike Gibson, to his credit, just introduced a piece of legislation that I will support and sign as soon as it gets to my desk to legislatively end that practice in the state of California. We did that years and years ago as it relates to chokeholds, decades ago, understandably, but not some of these techniques on strangleholds, and we have got to update our practices.
So you heard the governor make reference to Assemblymember Mike Gibson and his legislation. The Assemblymember is a Democrat. He represents the 64th District, which is part of Los Angeles County. He was elected in 2014, and he's joining us by phone. Mr. Gibson, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Can I start with a little broader question? What has George Floyd's death and the time of uprising and protests since provoked internally for you?
Well, first of all, you know, my prayers goes out to the Floyd family. This is just tragic for not only his family, but also for his country. And I hope that we take a second look at what transpired and how we need real reform in California around our police officers and how they conduct arrests here in the state of California. And so we're moving with that in mind by having introduced 1196.
So you didn't really name an emotion or some of your own thoughts in that, but perhaps that will speak to how and when your decision to create this legislation evolved.
Well, it evolved. First of all, I was born in Watts, and I lived through the civil unrest that took place in 1992, and I read about what transpired in the Watts riot in the 60s. And so what has taken place in my mind is a crying, is a loud voice for change taking place in our country, and it needs to start right now. People cannot wait any longer. They're demanding change, and they're demanding change right now. And so what has evolved in my mind is action, is a call to action, and people standing up and letting their voices be heard. Because Dr. King said that silence is a form of betrayal, and I refuse to be found guilty of being silent.
Tell me about the specifics of your bill then, and the extent to which you looked at what was already in place in the state of California and what was the potential now for reform.
Absolutely. First of all, the bill came out of the death of George Floyd. Plain and simple. I watched the video. I was in horror of what I saw, a murder unfolding right before our eyes, and listening to the voices. And so this is a step in the right direction, and I'm grateful to have the support of our governor, who's indicated last week that he would sign this bill to get this bill gets to his desk. And my goal is to making sure that this bill, in fact, gets to his desk. I believe that we've seen in our country's history where we've had these kinds of public protests and time and time again. When will we ever take heed to the history and write a new narrative for our future? And I believe the time is now, and I'm doing my part.
So the governor referenced that the state had already addressed chokeholds, and I'm sorry for some people who might not be comfortable with the specific details, but I do want to talk about the hold that you're addressing, or holds, and I'm trying to understand how encompassing it is. There is this particular carotid artery restraint. It's sometimes called the sleeper hold. I believe your bill addresses that. Is it also addressing choke holds? Is it addressing other techniques, as the governor referenced?
Absolutely. It is addressing choke holds that was used when I was in Los Angeles, when I grew up in Los Angeles in Watts. We had a police chief that was racist that said, you know, the reason why black people died while police officers doing or using chokeholds is because their necks were so thin, right? So in my bill, in 1196, it banned chokeholds and also the carotid restraint. The carotid restraint is when a person places their knee on your neck, which restricts and stops the blood from flowing through the brain that causes unconsciousness, and then it leads to death, as we have seen with Brother George Floyd.
So, Assemblymember Gibson, might there be exceptions at some point in the language? And what is the discussion around any exceptions? And I guess another way to phrase this is, how wide a ban might you be able to find support for?
Well, I am 1196 places a total ban in the state of California. When you have large police departments such as Los Angeles, San Francisco, who banned this practice years and years ago, they're still able to make arrests. And you look at what just transpired, you know, a few weeks ago with the city of San Diego and the county of San Diego's, and you're starting to see systematically departments banning it. But those are policies they're banning, right? We need a ban statewide to create a uniformity in this particular area, prohibiting law enforcement officers not using these methods and or techniques when effecting arrests. And so we, again, hope that California has always led the way. We hope that California leads the way and other states follow by putting into policy, into state statute, a ban of these kinds of methods and techniques.
If there is law enforcement lobbying for some sort of exception, for example, in a lethal force situation, I don't know all the scenarios that it might be considered. Where are you in terms of the possibility of either an amendment or an exception, that kind of language?
Well, right now, I'm not accepting anything. I am moving forward, but I welcome law enforcement to sit down and be part of the conversation to see if, in fact, there is a compromise to some degree. But the spirit of this policy is to ban these practices and these techniques in the state of California.
Has a Senate hearing been scheduled yet for the bill?
I believe that's going to take place next week, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. And could we talk a bit about your take on this time of protests and the interface with COVID-19 and the particular heightened numbers in the African American community? And I think I'd like to gauge your view on all of that together.
Sure. I think it's incredible. We are witnessing history in the making. You have seen this time where literally people are placing themselves at risk by going outside, but it's powerful because they're motivated for change in our country, and they're doing that in peaceful protests and demonstrations and raising their voices. What I pray is that, you know, that one, racism, we will actually take a real hard look at the racism, the biases that plague our communities, our states, and our country. And I hope that we will look at, one, investing in low-income communities, opportunities, job training, and also ending poverty. All these things are things that we can do collectively as a state and as a country to address a lot of the systemic issues that we're faced with right now today. And so when you look at COVID-19, people are saying that I'm willing to risk it all to allow my voices to be heard on the injustice that's taking place when it comes down to police brutality. And please, don't get me wrong. there are bad people in every profession, in our walks of life. And we cannot paint one person or one agency with a broad brush. There are bad apples in law enforcement, and I am saying they have to go. Let me just repeat that one more time. They have to go and allow the real, genuine, authentic police officers to do police duty. And those are the ones who are really signed up to do the work, serve and protect our community. But we have individuals who seek to utilize and abuse the badge and also the authority they have, and they hurt people. And in this case, with George Floyd, they kill people.
As a lawmaker, are you looking at any other possible legislation related to what you just said? And also, Brooke Williams' comments about her uncle at the funeral yesterday, when she referenced that this was not just a murder, but a hate crime. What other possibilities might there be in your role?
Well, one, I am focused and fixated on this piece of legislation because we are drawing close to our legislative year here in California. I have colleagues who have other bills who will address a number of different issues moving forward. So this legislative body will see a number of bills around reform taking place in the very, very short time that we're here in this legislative session. And so I want to, again, invite law enforcement to the table to have a real comprehensive conversation, a real conversation on what does law enforcement reform looks like, and be part of the solution and not stay back and allow people to create things that may put police officers' lives in jeopardy at the same time. We invite people to law enforcement to be part of the solution to help reshape what law enforcement looks like in California.
Assemblymember Gibson, the governor already expressed his support. You've had other legislative leaders express their support, and you just alluded to some fast action. What might the timetable be for this bill?
Well, this bill is going to have an urgency clause to it. And so what it means is that the bill is in the Senate. It has to go to public safety. And then from public safety, it has to go to the state assembly. And then we believe it's going to be on the governor's desk. And so we're looking at a August or September timeline. But it has urgency clause. So upon the governor signing it, it goes in effect right then and there.
One last question.
Yes.
It was asked yesterday at the funeral, is this time going to be a moment and then everything goes back to what we could call business as usual? That was the phrase used. Or is this time going to be more than that? What do you think?
I think that time will no longer be the same. COVID-19 has wrecked our normal. This is our new normal. And with George Floyd's death, it has wrecked things from being normal. There's a lot of change in the air. There are people demanding change, and they're demanding it because Mahatma Gandhi said, let's be the change you want to see. And we see that with not only protests in California, but Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, all over the United States of America, but not only America, but in other countries. In other countries, they're demanding change, and they're demanding change right now. And those who will close their ear, a deaf ear to the change, they will either be unelected, they will be removed from office, they will be viewed as the problem, and that will change. And so we will not be able to look at this time next year, but look at it as we have moved forward. And what has come out of our voices being heard is real change and real reform, not only in California, but also the United States of America. Congress, with Nancy Pelosi and others, have taken a bold move on the federal level to coincide what's taking place on the states with change around reform. And I believe this is going to sweep the nation.
You know, you just reminded me of one last point I wanted to clarify. Would you quickly explain the need for a state law? Because this is being worked at, these particular police reforms, at the local level, also at the national level. So what's your view on the need for a state law?
a state law, it concretes, it places things cemented as part of our future. State law as 1196 will bring a statewide ban. We know that a lot of departments are placing moratoriums. We know that they're implementing policies. Those can be changed and overlooked. But when you talk about a state law can not be overlooked. It has to be implemented. And the only way it's changed if the policymakers who put it in to begin with change that particular policy or law. And we don't see that happening. We see this moving forward, and we're seeing real change because the people, again, is asking for it. They're not asking. They're demanding real change and real reform. And so our state law will be a part of our values moving forward.
Thank you for your time, Mr. Gibson. Glad to have you on Insight today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
That's Assemblymember Mike Gibson, a Democrat representing California's 64th District, and he is the author of AB 1196, which would ban certain police holds across the state. After a break, we're going to shift our attention to COVID-19 in two of the counties that are now on the state's watch list, Sacramento and San Joaquin.